Yes, it's time for this week's fans forum. We're looking ahead to what could be a new manager for Tottenham in the shape of Pochettino, of course, at Southampton at the moment. Let's get the view in a moment on the Southampton angle. But first, we can speak to Colin McKee from the Hotspurs podcast. Colin, good evening to you.
Hi, guys. How are you feeling?
Yeah, well, good. Thanks so much for coming on. I suppose the first question is, were you surprised? Was it the right decision that Sherwood went?
Yeah, I think for myself and what we said on our podcast as well, that it definitely was the right decision. I think, you know, unfortunately, you know, for Tim Sherwood, he had probably, you know, done himself no favours, you know, by the way, you know, he had come across in the media. And I think, you know, we had lost a lot of players there in the dressing room. And I think just, you know, time wasn't on his side that way. And it was just time for him to go. The biggest surprise, I think, for probably most of us Spurs fans was that Spurs actually done it so fast. Usually, you know, we'd be sitting about for another 2 or 3 weeks, you know, waiting on the decision, you know, for Sherwood to go. But I think it was, you know, it was good to be done it. Done it nice and fast.
Do you think, I mean, I agree with you that, you know, things that he was saying after matches or even before matches, you know, didn't really help him. But apart from that, on the field, from what he was doing with regards to trying to bring through the young talent and the style of football that he's bringing to the club, was that a success or not, do you think, Colin?
You know, I think it was, you know, if you look at the likes of Bentala, you know, a lot of Spurs fans, I think, turned on him. But unfortunately, I think he got tagged along with being like, you know, this guy that came along with Tim Sherwood. And I think it was quite unfortunate for a young player. I actually thought he had a really good season for us when he did play. But, you know, the style of football personally didn't really change that much, you know, from AVB. Yes, there seemed to be a wee bit more passion coming from the sideline, but it didn't really change. And, you know, he had a great start for us. But just as time went on, the results, and, you know, the big thing for us was the result, you know, against the top four teams.
Yeah.
And, we were trounced in most of those games. And I think once that happened, you know, the results against Liverpool, the results against Man City, you know, like the only team really would be was Man United. And I think that was his downfall. And then when he came out with the rants and things, you know, personally, you know, I think at the beginning all, you know, we were all sort of, yeah, that's what we want to hear as fans. But I think, you know, for those players in the dressing room, I don't think it's good there. I think that's why he probably lost quite a few players.
Is that the Chelsea game that you're angling that towards?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when I first heard it, you know, I was sort of, yeah, you know, this is great. Then, you know, after a couple of days, started to think about it. And, you know, there's a lot of these Premier League footballers, you know, just aren't going to take time into it. And I think that's where he lost the dressing room, possibly with the likes of, you know, Jan Vertonghen. Yes, he brought Adi Bayor back into the team, which made a big difference to us, but I think that's where he lost. And a lot of players were possibly like, I don't want to play for this guy, this is not what I'm here for.
Any names in the hat that you would like to see come into White Hart Lane?
Yeah, well, for myself and Steve on the Hotspurs podcast, you know, the big name for us is Rafa Benitez. For me, I said it weeks ago on our show, to me, he is the number one candidate. I think he's absolutely perfect for Spurs. You know, he's obviously got Premier League experience, Champions League experience. You know, anywhere he's been, he's done fantastically well. I think he'd also like to possibly, you know, maybe come back, you know, to prove Chelsea wrong. You know, he got a lot of stick there from Chelsea fans.
I don't think he's got to prove them anything, has he? I mean, he got them into the top four and he won the Europa League.
Yeah, true. Sorry, you know, not that he needs to prove anything. I think it's just the way he was probably treated by the supporters. Obviously, you know, there's no blood loss between him and Mourinho. So maybe the lure of the Premiership coming back to London. And I just think he would be absolutely ideal. He would come in and sort the club out, you know, from top to bottom. And as long as, you know, he's given the reins to pick his own players. And, you know, my big thing is he'll give players jobs to do. And, you know, if those guys don't do the job on the pitch, you know, he won't hang about with them, you know, they'll be out of the side.
Pochettino is the bookies' favourites to get the job. Apparently, he must speak English in public if he wants that job. From what I understand, his English is a lot better than it ever has been, so I don't really see that as a stumbling block. If he were to get the main gig, would you be happy as a Spurs fan or not, Colin?
Yeah, you know, he's definitely one of the names. You know, there's obviously Frank De Boer as well, and I know he's up there. I think he's done a fantastic job at Southampton. You know, when he first came into the Premier League, none of us really knew anything about him. But I think, you know, the style of football that Southampton have played has been really, really good. But, you know, my big worry about him, about Pochettino, you know, coming in, is going to be, if it doesn't start well for him, are the fans going to give him time again? And it's one thing that we always do, that we, you know, we have got to, as supporters, give our next manager plenty of time, at least 2 or 3 seasons, no matter who it is. I actually said it weeks ago, if Tim Sherwood was to stay on, we've got to back this guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you, Colin. Yeah.
And that, but my worry about Pochettino is if he comes in 10 games, you know, if he's won 3 or 4 games, drew a couple, lost a few, you know, is that element going to be there to go, look, this guy's not right again? You know, is the crowd going to turn on him? And, you know, it's just going to do nobody any favours. But I really do like the guy. If he becomes the manager, I'll definitely be happy and I'll be 100% behind him.
Colin, you've been brilliant. Thank you as always for coming on. It's very kind of you to share your views on national radio. Are you watching the cup final tomorrow?
Yes, I will be.
Have you got your Hull. I was going to say, you got your Hull shirt ready?
Oh, definitely. Tom Huddleston with the winner. Oh. Definitely.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I like it.
It's been done before. Colin, thanks for coming on, pal.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, man. There you go. The viewers, I mentioned, of Colin McKee, the podcaster from the Hotspur podcast. Next up, Nick Illingsworth, the editor of the Ugly Inside Saints Fans, who will be joining us, and will give us the flip side of that coin. Of course, the South Liverpool are meeting over at the Spurs.
Yeah, welcome to the Hotspurs podcast. Now, as promised, me and Cole spoke a few days ago, talking about, you know, the new manager. So if you haven't listened to it, if you've only got this show, go download last week, a couple of days ago's show, because we did a part one, all talking about Villa and the rest of it, and a testimonial. We went player by player, talking about who's good, who's not, who's out the door, who's had a good season. We also talked about the manager situation, football, what do they call it, fantasy football and all that. But we didn't get to questions, Cole.
Okay.
So I've give you a ring, and you've kindly agreed to do 2 shows in a week, which is very nice of you. So if we go through these then, we got Graham Wookie Lambert said, what do you think is our realistic targets this season, and will Lamella shine?
Well, I've always said it, look, I hope Lamella's, and I said it in the last show, hopefully Lamella's going to be there, and he's going to be in, he's being the squad. I'm just hoping to see this guy, and I believe if he gets fit and he learns the language and he settles in, I definitely think he'll shine. Look, he didn't shine in the, you know, for Roma and Serie A for absolutely nothing. So I do well. And realistic expectations, you know, until we get our new manager and what players we're going to have available, it's hard to say. But, you know, I think for Spurs, you know, we have to be looking at top four again. You know, we have to be fighting for it every season now. And it's just about hopefully breaking in there. But it's going to be tough. But you never know.
Well, hopefully we'll be fighting for it. If we get it, we have to rely on a lot of luck. We have to rely on our players staying fit, their other teams' players, you know, going elsewhere or not being fit. You know, if Gerrard and Suarez get injured, then we're in. Man City are a different outfit, you know. But if Yaya Toure, you know, even if he plays, but he's not that interested. I've heard, you know, a lot of rumblings there that he does tend to sit on a deck chair in the middle of the pitch. Like our beloved Huddleston used to do, a brilliant player when he's on form, when he wants to know. You know, Chelsea as well. You know, Mourinho's got a certain style, it's very stubborn. You know, we know that they can drop points because of, you know, the number of superstars they've got in their side. I think there are 2 consistents. I think there's Man United that are going to be consistent. I think Louis van Gaal, if he's the manager, he would have a certain aura about him, and I think they'll buy some great players, and I just think they've still got that fear factor. And I think Arsenal are very consistent, and I think Arsenal once again will finish fourth. So I can see Man United and Arsenal finishing in the top four, and I can see Chelsea, Man City and Liverpool. We need to hope that one of those three or 2 of those 3 blows up so that we can then, you know, sneak in there. Out of all those top sides, though, I think Arsenal are the most consistent. I don't think they'll finish in the top three, but I do think they've got that fourth place secured, because I just think they just win all those other games, and they might win one or two against the top four, but they win everything else. You know, Stoke go there, whoever goes there, they all go there, and they just give up. Yeah. So, you know, that's the trouble. You know, so that's the way I see that one going. We've got another question here from Graham Chandler, who says, do you think Pochettino has what it takes? Is he too inexperienced? We kind of touched on that on the last show. You know, we'll see.
Yeah, that's what was said, you know, for Graham there on the last show. It's hard to know, but that's where he does worry me about, possibly because people are worried about him being inexperienced and not being too sure about him. If he doesn't have a great start, that the unfortunately supporters might turn on him, and it could end up being in this AVB sort of Tim Sherwood situation again. And that's why I'm worried about him, and that's where I think the risk of him is just a wee bit high. But
yeah,
we shall see.
Rather than sit on the fence and say, sorry, I said we'll see, he is too inexperienced, you know, in my opinion. Anthony Ferraro, but we might be wrong. Anthony Ferraro, if you've been asked by Sherwood to go and sit on the manager's seat on Sunday afternoon, would you have done with your minutes of Tottenham manager? Oh, what would you have done with your Tottenham management? That's presuming that we would have done. Would you have done, Carl?
Would I have went on to the seat?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Call, I would as call, well. Yeah. I tell you what, I would have, and yeah. I would have
fair play to the guy. I think he was actually on the Spurs show there.
I asked him to come on this show and he said yes, but then he didn't get back to me.
All right.
So if you're listening, well, too late now.
Let us know. We'll get you off. But we like to have, you know, have the exclusives on here.
That's right. Well, we'll have Mike England instead, not a problem.
The first thing I would have done when I got
Kenny Dalglish show in the summer. I'm going to get Kenny on the show.
Okay.
Not to talk about Liverpool, talk about Spurs. He's got a soft spot for Spurs.
If I had to get on the bench, I would have brought on Soldado, definitely.
Yeah.
Or do you know what else I might have done? I might have actually made the call to see where Lamella was.
I'd have thrown the gilet again.
Yeah, and they actually put on Sherwood's gilet.
And a bottle of water. Tottenham Tyler, and this is our mate Jason McGovern. Are Rose, Norton, Dawes, Cabal good enough to keep as backups in the event that we have seen this year? They have to play 20 plus games each. And if Jan Hugo, this is a typical message from him, there's so much in it. And if Jan Hugo, Brad all go, it means bringing in two goalkeepers, one right back, three centre backs, two left backs, and if they aren't good enough, already eight players. So please, no silly 20 million plus bids for central defenders. No tens, when we number tens, I presume that is, when we already have so many else. So much to be spent elsewhere. Remember, must keep eight homegrown, four of which were Tottenham since 17. This year, that meant Rose, Lennon, Bentaleb, Kane and Townsend. So only one of those can realistically be sold. Remember also, Steve, Europa rules mean you can... Only me. Remember, Steve. Not remember you, Cole. You obviously know all this stuff. Remember also, Steve, Europa rules mean you can only change three players from your 25-man squad between group and knockout stage. So if you leave out Hugo, Walker, Jan, Addy, Soldado, Dembele, Eriksen, Sandro, etc., only three of those can be included in the knockout stage.
Okay.
Agree with all that?
I didn't know that either, Jason. I really didn't. But God, all, but yes, he's right. You know, there's certain, I think we touched on it the last show as well. There's players like Rose and Cabal and things that possibly will be the backup defenders for us. You know, so but it's all going to come down to who was signed there. But we've said about, and to jump on this Europa League, we've said about it before. I think the two of us believe, go with the, you know, the guys that need the experience and need the games. And look, if we get to the quarter final and we're only able to bring in a few more of these other players, so be it. That's just the way it is.
Paul Teacher asked if we'd have Ferdinand and Cole.
Definitely have Ashley Cole. Said it a few times. I wouldn't have Ferdinand. I think Ferdinand's finished. To me, Cabal's stronger than him. So I think Ferdinand's definitely a no-no, but I would have Ashley Cole tomorrow.
I'd have both of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm not concerned with all this wages thing and how much people cost, although they wouldn't cost anything. And the history of, you know, I've said it before, there's too much stuff to contend with when you're talking about players. Oh, I don't like the way he does that. I don't like this thing. All I'm concerned about is how they perform on the pitch. And, you know, whether they're good to have around the place and whether they're a presence on the pitch. And I think Ashley Cole certainly would be brilliant for us this year if we could get him. And Ferdinand would be a presence to have around. And, you know, we wheeled Ledley King in and out, didn't we? And don't think that Ferdinand, although he might be a little bit past it, it wasn't ever or isn't a quality footballer. I mean, Ferdinand, yeah, Bale tore into bits a couple of seasons ago, but Ferdinand is a quality footballer. And, you know, if he's got another, you know, 10 games in him, let him do it at Spurs.
Yeah, well, we'll see. And probably as well, the experience for the young players coming in there, you know, with all the Champions League and World Cup games that these guys have played. But out of the two, Ashley Cole, I think, would be massive. Look at his last games for Chelsea. He's been one of the best players on the pitch.
Yeah.
Why would you not want an experienced left-back that we know will come in and do a job and will also help the players around him? I think he would be a massive signing for us, but I just don't know if it'll happen.
Here's a good question. At Spurs, we've been consistent top 16 for several years now, but fans are never satisfied. Are they the real problem?
Yeah. Really good question, good point. And you know what? And it's something I'm starting to think more and more of. I do think they are. Like, again, look at Sunday, Steve. Look at the atmosphere on the ground. It was terrible.
Mm.
And we said, you know, look at all the supporters that were standing actually behind the net. And there was some great opportunities for the Spurs fans to join in the banter with the Aston Villa supporters. And, you know, and I had great opportunities to sing certain songs back to them. And not once did we sing a song. There was the old quick rendition of "Oh, When the Spurs" that went on for about 35 seconds. And that was it. It was terrible. Atmosphere at Ledley King's testimonial, unbelievable. Sang every song you can think of. And it was brilliant. And I said, why can't we do this on match day?
Yeah. David Coates, I don't agree with Clive Allen when he says Daniel Levy isn't a football man. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, I'll leave that one up to you, Steve.
Daniel Levy, he's done fantastic for us on the financial side. He didn't have a choice when it came to things like selling Bale. You know, I just think that he was in there going, well, no, we're not taking 60, we're not taking 70. And by the way, we're not even negotiating until we get all the players in. You know, I think he done great with that Bale deal. Couldn't have done much better. You know, if somebody has some evidence that any other manager ever in the history of football has turned down 80 million, then show it to me and I will reconsider my opinion. But to sell a player who, by the way, as fantastic as Bale was, was it like losing Gazza? I mean, Gazza, just out of this world, unbelievable guy to watch, ran the game. Bale, fantastic player, but did he run the game? Not really. I mean, scored almost, incredibly important goals, but different.
Yeah, but Bill, you know, his point is, you know, about Daniel Levy, what was it again he said? What did Clive Allen say?
About what? Oh, well, he said that Daniel Levy isn't a football man.
Yeah, well, okay. He probably isn't. At the end of the day, the guy is a businessman.
Mm.
And so I would probably agree with Clive Allen on that, but he must know something about football as well. But I think the biggest point, and I think there might be a question for somebody, is on Baldini. And I think that's where, you know, Levy had him in as his football man. And I think that guy's the guy that has to answer, you know.
Like we said before, I don't think many people are very impressed with their chairman. You know, it's always hardly anyone thinks, you know, oh, I love our chairman. Terry Hill.
Nice to hear him.
Yeah. Terry Hill, if you could buy one player for Spurs from each of the top five teams, who would it be? So, Man City, Touré, Liverpool, Suarez, Chelsea, Hazard, Baines from Everton, someone from Arsenal. I mean, you know, you'd have to agree with all those. Who would you buy from Arsenal if you could buy any one of their players?
Buy from Arsenal.
Ramsey?
I'd probably buy... It's hard to pick one of them. I don't like them all. Don't like any of them. What about... Yeah,
but you've got to think that if we bought them, the Arsenal fans' heads would explode.
Yeah, true. What about... I'll buy Ozil.
I'd like to buy Ramsey.
Okay.
No.
Who's the next
chance?
Team? Who would you buy from Man City?
Torre.
Torre, yeah, I'd buy Aguero.
Liverpool. I wouldn't buy Suarez.
I would.
I can't. I don't like him.
Chelsea.
Gerrard. I'd love to see Gerrard in a Spurs shirt.
I know.
I really would.
I know. Chelsea, I would buy...
Willian.
No. Can't stand him.
John Terry.
No, definitely not. Who would I buy from Chelsea?
We'll probably get Torres.
Probably would buy Hazard. Probably buy Hazard for on the wing.
What about that Ramirez gets about the pitch a bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, Ramirez.
Do you know who I would have said a couple of seasons ago? Frank Lampard.
Yeah, I'd have said it a couple of seasons
ago. And he's despised by Spurs fans, but what a player.
Yeah. Definitely.
And he's going to the World Cup, and rightly so, because that guy, you know, if we talk about players that put effort in and have a crack at goal and never disappoint, Frank Lampard, my goodness. Right.
Everton, Terry's right there, Leighton Baines. You know, that there's another player that there's no reason we can't go out and offer 25, 30 million for.
Well, we should have done it at the start of the season as one of our big buys. Johan Yatabi says, is it possible to build up a squad around Holtby and Eriksen? The Holtby thing for me is, you know, because he's not there, we're presuming that he's this wonderful player. Again, somebody that I love, but gives the ball away a hell of a lot. And that Felix fella said that he wasn't a fighter. You know, he's not that sort of player. You know, not sure about Holtby.
Holtby got a massive reception on Monday night.
Yeah.
And the crowd actually sang for about 5 minutes.
We want you to stay.
Lewis Holtby, we want you to stay.
Yeah.
But I actually was sitting there in the crowd going, I love the guy. I love the way he talks about loving Spurs and things. But I just looked and went, do you know what? He's still not that top quality player.
He wouldn't get in our first 11 if everyone was fit.
If we want
to, he'd struggle to get on the bench.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So that's my worry of him, and I just can't see the guy being in that first 11.
Chris Knights, why should we be content with constant transitional seasons? At what point do the board and chairman have to go? They're staying. I think I saw a tweet several months ago where someone said, can you stop banging on about Levy and Joe Lewis? They are staying. It's like wanting your dad. You know, you're not happy with your dad. Sorry, but he's your dad. You can't get rid of him. They are staying. Unless something incredibly drastic happens, they're staying.
Yeah, I think what it is, they're staying until the new stadium is built and then they can sell it. Whatever the naming rights are going to be, or then this is when someone big is going to come in and buy over Tottenham.
But they do so much, don't they? They do these community things.
They do, and to be...
They made a mistake with StubHub, but I don't think that was something that they thought bugger the fans. I think they said, right, we've got this exchange scheme, we don't want to run it anymore, let's get an external company to come and do it. They came in and said, well, this is what we do, this is how we do it. And I think they just went, oh, that sounds all right, you know? Yeah. And it didn't work out that way. So they changed a couple of rules so that now you can't, what's it called, flipping or something? So that people can't buy a ticket and then sell it again. So they changed that. And now it's down to the fans to make sure that you put your ticket on for the right price and you don't, take the mickey out of other Spurs fans with your ticket.
I think the other thing is as well with it, you know, really if we really sit down and look at it, the money they have spent, and you've said it loads of times, we have always spent money on players.
Yeah.
You know, for being a team that was finishing 10th and 11th and 9th, then fighting for it over the past 4 or 5 years, we've always spent big money. So, you know, it's hard to really slag him off. But I know and I understand why a lot of people are on their backs at the minute. But this is his thing. He's got to get this one right. And this is where I think he needs to pull a big name out of the hat to appease the fans.
Yeah. Why hasn't... This is KG William. Why hasn't Baldini been sacked? Has brought in 5 players who are flops and spent big money, which we won't. I just think that the players need given time, more than the manager, because so many players, you know, take time to adapt to the Premier League. And I was thinking about all those Chelsea players that have played, you know, in the last 10 years, for example. You know, the world's greatest striker at one point was Shevchenko. He was terrible at Chelsea. You know, and other people who have come in and struggled. How about Michael Ballack? You know, he was poor at Chelsea, wasn't he? What a brilliant player he was. So, yeah, just the fact that Soldado's come in and, you know, not played that great. Well, he's been terrible. A lot of other sides have had that. Veron at Man United. You know, what a brilliant player, but terrible at Man United. So, you know, I think we've got to give them another season, at least another 6 months, and see if they are real flops. Because for a lot of them, when you go through those 7 players, I wouldn't really get rid of any of them. And even Chadley, who people, you know, the most people say, well, Capoue's been injured, so you really can't judge him, and Lamella. So, you know, you've got to go, well, you've got to give them another 6 months. Because
I think Baldini is under pressure, you know, and people are right to be having a go at him about it. But it'll come down to who the new manager is, whether, you know, if it is Frank de Boer comes in, he's got his own, like Overmars is his football, you know, director of football. So I think if that is the appointment that's made, I think Baldini will be gone.
But in August, Cole, I said to you, I hope the Spurs fans start chanting for Franco Baldini. Because Franco Baldini or Franco, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because of these brilliant signings he's made.
Yeah.
You know, like we said, he's got the best striker in Spain. He's got the best guy at Ajax. He's got this brilliant guy from Steaua Bucharest. He's got, you know, this guy who's keeping Hazard out of the Belgian side. He's got the Etienne Capoue, who Arsenal were after.
And the hottest young prospect.
He's got the hottest young prospect who was brilliant at Roma, and whoever the 7th one is.
Yeah.
So.
That's right. You know, and we all did. We all thought the same. No matter what anybody says now, we all thought the same. And I think that's the reason we're all so disappointed this season, because we had typical Spurs fans. We had such high expectations of what we were going to do this year.
Yeah.
And unfortunately it just didn't materialise, and I think that's why we've all been so gutted. So hopefully we've got this season out of the way, we can all calm down and get back to being Spurs fans again.
Mark Nelson says, should we make Europa priority over domestic cups and top four, considering quality of teams chasing top four new boss's first year. So would you cups or top four next season, Carl? It's either or, isn't it?
And look, just hearing that guy's name, Mark, apologies. On the last show, I was meant to shout you out. Mark's from Northern Ireland. Unfortunately, Mark didn't get to meet him at a couple of places we were over there at the weekend. So, Mark, massive shout out to you on the show. And I've been chatting to you on the phone. We're going to meet up at the Northern Ireland Legends night again. Priorities. I just think the break into the top four is going to be so, so difficult. I think if we could go and win a cup next year, go and win a cup and finish even 5th or 6th again, I think we'd all be happy. You know, a season, I'm more interested, Stephen, in having a really good, exciting season next year, being entertained. And as you said, has there been a game this season where you've jumped out of your seat?
No.
There hasn't.
Do you know what I'd take next season? I'd take going to Wembley, whether that be semi-final of the FA Cup, you know, final of the FA Cup, or going and watch the League Cup final, and beating Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, if we can do those two things, then fantastic.
Just an exciting season. You know,
obviously, that doesn't mean I want to be relegated or be mid-table or go out of the FA Cup or any other cup in the first round. But generally, have a decent season, entertaining football to a certain extent, not capitulating these major games. But if we, you know, beating Arsenal is just fantastic. It's something every summer I look back on and think, wow. Remember that game, you know, that was brilliant, you know, jumping around, you know, it's absolutely great, and getting to a cup final, good, because that day is just fantastic as a Spurs fan, and the fact that we haven't had any of that this year, you know, is makes the season so disappointing. So Dan D Rob 273, we spent 110 million. Also, have to look at their wage bill compared to ours. This is talking about. I was saying, you know, what's so good about Pochettino? You know, I was just asking the question there. Did Mourinho do a better job than Pulis because he finished above them? You know, it's interesting that one. Mourinho and Pulis. You know, I think Mourinho is absolutely brilliant manager. And Pulis has done fantastic, and I've noticed that all the other podcasts have started to cotton on to the Pulis for Spurs thing. We were talking about, and there's a joke, guys, but you know, my point on that, and you asked me about other managers, is that these managers that look at Spurs from afar, who are in football, who live, breathe, talk football, go to all the golf days all around the country, you know, they just are on all the TV channels, they're always on Talk Sport, and they know all about football. Their wives must be going mad about them. But I reckon that they look at Tottenham and go, I know what I could do with Tottenham. And they would go in there, and I think they would do great for at least 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And then another one would come in.
Yeah, and we'd all jump on their back.
Keith Nicholson, been saying this all along. If Pochettino does come to Spurs, can see Mr. Levy getting protests next season. Yeah, we talked about that, haven't we?
Yeah, that's what was said. If he does bring him in, it doesn't work out well, it will happen.
Can't Last be. Couple, mate. Hayden Gribble, who in your opinion had the best game for Ledley 11?
Oh, Edgar Davids, 100%.
He said Anderton or Sheringham?
Yeah, Sheringham had a good game. I thought Darren Anderton was okay. You could see that he's sort of, you know, struggling there. But look, there was only one man on the pitch. It was Edgar Davids for me. But saying that, Louis Saha was outstanding.
Yeah.
Scored 3 brilliant goals. But for me, it was Edgar Davids.
That's it, mate. I think if I've left out anybody's question, please tweet me or message me on Facebook, and I'll make sure I read it on the next show. Right, mate. So that'll do for now.
Yeah, just one last thing. I think Steve, what the two of us want to shout out to everybody, which we didn't have time for in the last show, is just to thank everyone. You know, everyone that does download and listen to us, and you know, and has supported the podcast, because you know, it is a lot of work involved, especially for yourself, Steve, that does all the editing and having to get it out there. I just have to sit here and talk on my headphones. But, you know, a massive shout-out to all our followers. You know, spread the word there for us, guys. Get it out there on Twitter. You know, keep retweeting, keep following Facebook. I think we're going to have a wee look at maybe a couple of new things next season with our Facebook page. And I'll put it out there. If anybody is interested in doing some work for us on our Facebook, because I would like to get that up and going a bit more, you know, to send us a private message and we'll get in touch with you, and we'll have a look at the names that's interested in doing it, and if someone wants to maybe start to do a bit more for us on Facebook, because
I mean, one of the regulars, you know, you know who you are, we don't have to say your names, you know, if you want to take over the administration of it, then that's fine.
Yeah,
go on, mate.
Definitely, you know, because you know, we do what we can on it, but what I find hard with Facebook, especially, and there's guys like Graham Lambert that always say, that always put the questions on. We don't, Steve and I don't like to answer them on Facebook because we like to talk about it on the show. So you don't want to give away all your opinions, you know, on the Facebook page. But I would like, if someone else, someone that we know and is a regular, is quite keen, I'll still do my bit on Facebook as well. You know, wants to get in there and get our page up and running, get our likes up and get us out there, that would be brilliant. So just get in touch with us via Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah, and like I said on the last show, all what we're going to do next season is we're going to do Thursday night shows, so that we can review the weekend game and the midweek game, and you know, you've got your podcast there for Friday and Saturday in preparation for games on Sunday. So you know, that's what we're doing. We've got some interviews coming up over the next few weeks with some really interesting people from Spurs. We'll have some ex-players again. So we're going to keep going, and you know, it should be exciting times.
Fingers crossed, if there's a new manager announced soon as well, we'll definitely do a new manager show. So we'll definitely get one out there. So I'm hoping it's going to be soon. Rafa Benitez blew him out on it.
Okay.
Come on, you Spurs.
All right. Come on, you Spurs. Keep your peckers up. That'll do.